Well, and good afternoon, everybody, and welcome here to this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. My name's Devin Poslesny. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
Doing great, Devin. How are you?
I'm doing good. First of all, congratulations, college graduate.
Woo! Oh, am I?
You are now. You have 6 months until you got to start paying back your debt.
Can't wait.
But welcome. Congratulations, like I said. Happy to have you here. We're in person today. As it's, well, I was going to say summer break, but now it's just adult life for you.
Adult life now.
There's no more summer breaks for you. So this week's show, we have a couple things we want to talk about. Obviously, IndyCar qualifying for the Indy 500 Formula One ran in Italy. We didn't do a show last week just because of everything we both had going on. Wow. Way to just out me right there. All right. Everything I had going on. But anyways, and then, of course, NASCAR had the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro. Let's quickly touch on some of the fast storylines here before we get to Short Track Saturday, the weekly segment talking about short track racing. And Jordan's got plenty to talk about when it comes to that. But IndyCar ran at Indianapolis. They were qualifying for the Indy 500. And my goodness, 234 miles an hour average lap speed for a four-lap qualifying run for Scott McLaughlin. That is absolutely incredible.
It really is.
Think about it. Like, you're doing 75 on the highway. If you reach 90, you're feeling like, oh my goodness. Meanwhile, these guys are doing 234 plus miles an hour. And they're just, it's another day in the office. Another day. So starting lineup for, or the starting top 10, I should say, for the 108th running of the Indy 500, which is this Sunday, we have Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, Joseph Newgarden, that's your front row. Alexander Rossi starting fourth. Kyle Larson goes off fifth. Santino Ferrucci goes off sixth. Rinus VK seventh. Pato O'Ward eighth. Felix Rosenquist ninth, and Takuma Sato will roll off 10th. So, biggest prize storyline to take away from that weekend or the Indy situation was the speed, but also Kyle Larson getting into the fast 12, fast 6, going for the pole. You know, it was one of those, like, NASCAR and everyone kind of came out and said, well, hey, here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to have Kevin Harvick practice the car, but Kyle should be back by mid-Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kyle got into the fast 12. All right, well, he'll be good for the race. Got in the fast 6. It got to the point where NASCAR moved the All-Star race back 30 minutes to accommodate for Kyle Larson coming in. So,
and I think he landed at, he got to North Wilkesboro like 7:15, I think it was about.
Something like that. I know he left, I think he left Indy around 5:45, 6 o'clock-ish, mm-hmm. and it was crazy.
Good thing there's only an hour flight from Indy to North Carolina.
Yeah, to North Carolina. But it was just crazy to watch that as well. I mean, I will say that my dad and I watched the Fast 6 qualifying for Indy instead of watching the first 15 minutes of the NASCAR Open. You know, we were watching that more than, and of course, as soon as McLaughlin got the pole, we then jumped over to Fox and watched the Open. But, it was just exciting. And that knockout style qualifying is also just exciting as well. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the, who is it? Nolan Siegel. He was going for the, you know, going for the pole and going for it. And unfortunately, he was going to get in, trying to get in, and unfortunately wrecked on his final attempt to try and bump out, who is it? Grant Rahal. And he wrecked. So glad to see he was okay. That was a 19-year-old. Glad to see he was okay. But definitely the bump qualifying is just, It's exciting.
Yeah, it makes I really like the format that IndyCar does for the Indy 500.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at, by the way, the IndyCar timing and scoring qualifying poll day results, it says that 99 times were run, and the field average was 231 miles an hour. So
was that fast?
Slacking, I guess.
According to Kyle Larson's, like, yeah.
He's like, Kyle Larson's poll or Kyle Larson's average was 232. Oh, that was his speed. It doesn't have his average, but
it was kind of funny when Kyle Larson gets interviewed after the first laps in the IndyCar, and he's like, "Oh, he was like, what did you think out there?" And he's just like, "Yeah, I mean, it's fast, but it's not scary fast." So it's just like, "Oh,
it's fast, but you know, it's fine." No, I mean,
it is what it is.
Yeah, another day at the office. But I'm excited to see how he does this week. And of course, the Indy 500 is always a spectacle, the greatest spectacle in racing to watch. And, my dad and I went back in 2016, and that was for the 100th. And it was just so, so fun. And I'd love to go back for sure. Cause I know there were things that him and I didn't do that would have been, good. But anyways, good to do. But anyways, so IndyCar, Indy 500, Sunday, I believe coverage starts at noon on, is it ABC, NBC? 11 a.m. on NBC. So, and Peacock. So, Formula One raced in, I believe it's Italy. I think. Hang on. Before I make a fool of myself, let me just double check this. Yes, okay. They renamed the circuit, but it's Imola circuit. I know I said that wrong, but anyways, Verstappen with the W, Lando Norris second, Charles Leclerc third. That's your podium. Now the reason why, I mean, besides talking about this in general, the reason why I put it on my note is Norris beat Verstappen in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And he finishes second in Italy by only 7/10 of a second. Now, granted, in Formula One, that looks far on TV.
Right, but in Formula One's finishes have been, that's really close.
I was going to say, but then when you have third place who's 7 seconds, almost 8 seconds back, fourth place is 15 or 14 seconds, and fifth place is 22 seconds back, 7/10 is huge. And I literally wrote on my note, and I'll show you my note. Formula One, Norris is coming because Norris
is the next Max Verstappen.
He beat him in Miami, and then he's right here on Verstappen's door. So I'm interested to see what happens the rest of the season when it comes to that. You know, following because I don't know if this is just a one off. I don't want to say fluke, but one off where it's just kind of like, he got two lucky weeks, mm-hmm. or if it's he's here.
Right.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to follow that. But, yeah, Verstappen with the W, Norris second, Leclerc third. So before we go to NASCAR, Jordan, I'm going to turn it over to you on our Short Track Saturday segment. You spent a lot of time over at Lee Speedway. And also, I think the Wheel of Modified Tour over or down in Riverhead. So go ahead, Jordan. Take it away.
All right. So would you want me to start off with Lee or Riverhead?
It's your call.
So as Devin said, yes, I was at Lee USA Speedway all this past weekend, Friday and Sunday, for the first annual Pro Stock Nationals weekend. Which was a really great event. That was like a really fun event to be a part of. I'm glad I was able to do the Lee USA Speedway's Facebook page for that whole weekend. But Friday was a fun day. It started off with I'm gonna try to remember. We had the NELCAR Bandoleros, the NELCAR Legends, the Star Tour Modifieds and Sportsman Series, the Crown Vicks and the Super Streets in action on Friday, and on top of a 2-hour Pro Stock Nationals practice session. And that was a long day. I got to the track at like 1:30 that day. I didn't leave till 11 that night. So a little
insane.
A long day at the track, but a lot of great racing. I think it was the closest Nelcar Bandolero finish I've ever seen, probably. Both the first and second place cars, which I'll try to find. The results again. So Brody Wakefield and Nicholas Uhrig, probably just butchered that last name. Mm. They were the first and second place drivers. They came to the start fin- out of turn four, bumping and banging, coming to the line. So they got the crowd excited. Brody Wakefield ended up with the win. And then on the Legends side, that was a very healthy amount of Legends cars. I think there was about 20, 22 of them.
That's good.
And that's the number 29 of Cole Roby win it. And the Star Tour races were, I mean, I don't really have a say in these series because I haven't seen them, but that was cool. They pretty much race antique, modified, and sportsman cars. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. The Crown Vics were a good show. I mean, really, every single race was, like, really good. Like, that was, I don't know if it was just the track itself or it was just the series that were there that they put on a good show. And then Mother Nature said, you guys are going to have to wait another day. So Saturday got postponed to Sunday, which was the MLM Diagnostic Pure Stocks, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Six Shooters, the Ridge Runners, the New England Dwarf Cars, and, of course, the Pro Stocks. And we had a 40-minute practice session for the Pro Stocks, and then we had a single car qualifying for the Pro Stocks, which there were 46 cars originally, 47 originally. Bubba Pollard withdrew a couple days before the event, and then obviously with the Saturday being postponed to Sunday, we lost some of the cars to the past tour because they were racing at White Mountains on Sunday.
Mm.
So we ended up with 33 Pro Stocks. 28 made the field, so obviously 5 ended up going home. The 28 fastest in the qualifying made it, and then they did a 20-lap Conti race where the top 6 make it, and then there's 2 provisional spots. So I guess I can call him a short track superstar. Derek Griffith ended up on the pole.
I was gonna say definitely can call him a short track superstar.
Ended up on the pole for the race, and led. I mean, this is gonna sound like the race wasn't good, but he pretty much dominated the whole. Like they kind of separated into 2 stages. There was 200 lap race, 125. Then they did a caution where pit stops where the field was frozen, so it wasn't the competitive pit stops. Mm-hmm. And I think the pit stops were probably like 10 minutes. And then
kind of like what you'd see at the modified,
right?
So, yeah,
kind of like or the Arkham and Archer is a halfway break, kind of like that. And then the next stage was 75, and I don't know what it was, but that I gotta look at it again. But the I'm trying to see who. The 73D of Joey Doran, who ended up was in the last chance qualifying race, mm-hmm. won it, ended up obviously starting. He started
towards
29th,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up coming and finished being the winner.
Wow.
Beating out Derek Griffith, and they had a good battle too. I don't know what adjustments they made during that those pit stops, but it was whatever he did, where it came from almost the back of the field to come back and win.
Wow.
And then Derek Griffith ended up finishing third, so he ended up falling all the way back down to third. But a good, actually maybe it is done. They obviously the motors were pulled for the top 3, and they went somewhere else to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw an article from the Lee USA Speedway page of saying Joey Doran wins, so I think his win is now official. But I mean, that was a great event. That was the stands were packed on Sunday. There was a lot of campers that were camping the whole weekend. Obviously, they kind of had an extra day, kind of a wet Saturday.
Of course.
But, I mean, I think it was really successful. We had the Black Flag podcast crew there for the weekend. And, yeah, definitely something that they are bringing back next year for sure. And Derek Griffith said he's definitely going to be entered in it.
That's awesome.
Sorry. Oh, and for the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour,
yes,
the defending champ Ron Silk held off the 64 of Austin Beers and the 51 of Justin Bonsignor to capture his second victory of the year, or his third victory of the year.
Wow.
So now they're off until, well, next Saturday when they go to Seekonk.
Nice. Sounds like a fun weekend for short track racing, for sure.
Yes.
No, I mean, this stuff, the event they did at Lee, you know, it's... I love the fact that they're doing new things. You know, it's no longer just Friday night short track racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're kind of coming up with these bigger events, you know, like I remember when, you know, the big weekend at any track was when, you know, the Pass Tour came, or Granite State Pro Stocks, or MRS, or, I mean, even there was one time where it was, oh, the Legends cards are coming. And those are what gets people in seats,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. You know, yeah, you're going to have your diehard fans that go to Claremont every Friday night, you know, or go to Hudson every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you can only, looking at it from a business perspective, you can only make so much money off of the same amount of people.
Right.
You know, and if you can bring in a Granite State Pro Stock or a Pass Tour or an ACT Tour race, it then brings in that much more, you know, and especially if you can turn around and say, look, we're going to have this, let's say, Granite State Pro Stocks and the Pro Truck Challenge, you know, or and the Legends Cars, you know, the NELCAR Legends Car Tour tours around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's fun that they tour around, in my opinion. We used to cover them here and there, but I mean, I think it's great that like tracks like Lee and Hudson and Claremont are also making their own big events, you know, like the Pro Stock Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that like the series Pro Stock Nationals came in. It was Lee said, "Here's the specs. Come race. We're gonna be a big purse."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same thing with like the Granite State Derby.
I do,
you know, or the Mad Dog, the Monadnock weekend mm-hmm. last year. So, like,
I do want to shout out John Espernet and Ben Bozowski. Obviously, they're the managing group at Lee. Mm-hmm. And also forgot to mention the Pro Stock Nationals race was made history in the New Hampshire short track racing scene with being in the biggest purse in New Hampshire history.
Nice.
I mean, like, $30,000 is a lot. Obviously, there's $100,000 given out throughout the whole field. You drivers got $2,000 just to start. So
right. But I mean, and that's another thing. It makes it more enticing to a driver. You know, talk to Casey Call. You're wearing a sweatshirt right now. Casey Call shows up to the racetrack, and before his car even gets turned on, he's almost probably $2,000 in the hole between tires and fuel, and heaven forbid if he hit the wall, you know, parts, things like that. So to sit there and say, hey, you know, you're going to go run Lee, and guess what? At Lee, you're going to, when you show up, guess what? You're going to sign on the dotted line, and the next thing that's going to be handed to you is a $2,000 check? Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, like I said, like you said, giving, you know, credit and giving a shout out to, you know, the management group, I want to also make sure that they know that from my end of things, that's awesome. You know, I'm so happy to see this, like, them doing this, you know, making it, revitalizing the short track scene, you know, making it so that, you know, like, if I didn't have anything going on this past weekend and the camper was ready, I would have went camping. You know, we've gone to Monadnock for when the modified tour's there, you know, like, and like, that's the other thing. How much was it to go camping at Monadnock? $20?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like, and what did we get out of it? 2 days worth of racing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spent maybe $150 max between the two of us to go to that whole day, all that racing. You know, so like, I think it's great that they're doing everything in their power to revitalize the racing scene here in New England and New Hampshire more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And for me, I mean, I have another busy weekend this upcoming weekend because I'll be at Claremont Motorsports Park on Friday and then Hudson Speedway Sunday and Monday because they're doing two shows that on Memorial Day weekend. And, going to be another busy weekend for sure.
Definitely. No, it's great. Like I said, I love to see it, honestly. And it's super exciting. And I hope that... I hope it continues. You know, I hope that what they're doing continues to grow and evolve and make it into, you know, a good product.
And something that's gonna have Phil Lee again is June 7th they're doing Beach Ridge Motor Speedway Night, kind of in tribute of Beach Ridge in Maine, and then after that June 21st is their Friday Cup weekend kickoff event. Obviously, that's the weekend the NASCAR Cup Series comes in New Hampshire. And another big story, well, I don't want to say another big storyline, but a storyline going into that one is two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Kyle Busch is once again racing at Lee in the Open Pro Stocks event.
Nice.
Obviously, he finished second last year to Derek Griffith, so he came coming back to try to win it this time.
That's awesome. I mean, and I love that the Cup guys do that because, I mean, Casey Call beat out Tyler Reddick a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for Casey Call, you know, he's run some pretty big events, but I'm willing to bet that's probably one of the things that he puts big and bold on his resume.
Surprisingly, yeah. I actually talked to him about that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he knew who he beat. What he said, he didn't really care who he beat out because he was on a long win streak at that point. And he said...
he was just another competitor.
Yeah, he was just another competitor. He was more happy to end that and the long winless streak he was on. And it just so happened that the person he beat out was Cup Series talent, Tyler Reddick.
Oh, Casey Call. I love that kid. I mean, but even, I don't know, maybe other drivers might sit there and say, you know, oh, well, I beat Tyler Reddick. You know, like, that's like, woo! You know, big and bold on the resume, but now Casey Call has also beaten my dad and I in go-karting, just for the record. Probably another...
Well, beating you is probably not too...
Probably another big achievement for him.
Beating you is probably not too hard.
We got to get Casey Call on here.
We definitely do.
If only we knew what he was doing by now, we'd give him a call.
I do have his pro-stock schedule, so...
No, go ahead. Hold on.
He's back in action on Sunday at Claremont.
we'll get him on for another show.
He's in Claremont on Sunday. So.
Okay. All right. Well, it's Tuesday, so I wonder what he's doing right now.
Right.
No, but I mean, anyways. So, good weekend, though, short track-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Riverhead race for the Modifieds was good. From what I heard, you touched on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I do have a point about the IndyCar qualifying.
Okay.
Is I do like, I watched pretty much like all of Saturday's qualifying. Because obviously the North Wilkes Pro Saturday was a...
Ran out.
You could have brought some boats out to race around the track at that point after the rain came. But
we'll talk about that in a minute. Go on, though.
So I watched all the IndyCar qualifying on Saturday. Like the whole thing was... 6 hours, a little under seven, I think.
Yep.
And the dramatics of it the whole time from Kyle Larson having a mechanical issue, his first qualifying, and was like, oh, no, is he even going to be able to make a lap? Is he even going to be able to make the Indy 500 now? Obviously, he ended up doing it. You talked about he made the fast 12, then the fast 6, starting 5th. But Rinus VK came out, wrecked on his qualifying lap very early on, I think he was like the first car, one of the first, like the first couple cars out there. Ended up wrecking it out of turn two, I believe it was, and destroyed his car pretty good. And obviously, the IndyCar rules are you have to wait until every car does their lap now. If you're ready, if you're not, then you have a certain amount of certain time. Like Kyle Larson had till 5:15 or something like that, or 5:50, whatever it was, to run a lap to be able to be eligible for the Indy 500. Rinus VK came out pretty much on the budget, came out on track with 2.5 minutes left, got into the fast 12 right at the buzzer. He crossed the line, and there was 2 seconds left on the clock of qualifying. So, I mean, that was just qualifying for the Indy 500. The Indy 500 is on Sunday, and there was already like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Right, right.
Which just goes to show you just how good the Indy 500 qualifying practice can be, because it's just this dramatics the whole time. You just never know.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, yeah, the dramatics, as you mentioned, alone is it's exciting. You know, it's exciting, good, old-fashioned racing. And, yeah, it makes the month of May exciting.
It does. It definitely does. And
we didn't talk about it, but, like, the road course race a couple weeks ago, you know, is just as exciting as well. And then on top of that, then you have, you know, the racing, qualifying, you know, is just as exciting, you know, so it builds up. And I think, you know, IndyCar and Roger Penske have done a great job of building that format over the years to the point where now it's a 2-day show. You know, yeah, it's on Peacock. Oh no, the Sunday was on NBC,
but Saturday was on Peacock qualifying.
So it builds hype. You know, it makes it so that now next week when they go live at 11 a.m. for the Indy 500, it's look what happened last weekend. You know, and by the way, now 33 of them are about to go do 230 plus miles an hour for 200 laps. What?
So, I mean, obviously everyone but probably Kyle Larson is used to it. But you know, it's kind of, it goes a difference from IndyCar to like NASCAR, where it's like NASCAR, they're going probably, I mean, on Super Speedway, they're going probably just under 200. And IndyCar's like, oh, I'm going 250 every week, besides, like, road course, obviously.
I mean, yeah. But, at the same time, though, Kyle Larson had to go through the IndyCar, you know, approval process, that the making sure that he was cleared and all that, and making sure he was all ready to rock and roll. And, but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely... Yeah, it's going to be exciting, to say the least.
Definitely.
For sure. Speaking of exciting, it rained on Saturday, and we had 3 feet of rain in the infield of North Wilkesboro, to the point where we had a swimming competition.
There was people, like, it was so bad, the flooding, that people were, like, in the infield and pit road, like, knee deep in water.
We had one driver who was swan diving off of the pit wall into the water.
Yep.
Definitely. Did you see something I feel like North Wilkesboro is going to have to address in between now and next year?
And I don't know if you saw this. I was watching like a whole bunch of videos from like Bob Pock or Jeff Gluck, or he might have been whoever was at North Wilkesboro covering the truck race and that whole weekend itself. I saw a video, and this team got a lot of heat for it. Was Stuart Haas Racing teams were not at North Wilkesboro on Saturday. So when the Cup cars had to be covered when the rain came, it was the Hendrick Motorsports teams that were doing it. And everyone's like, how come the Stuart Haas teams aren't there? And it's like, And it was like,
interesting.
Yeah. But maybe next year, though, maybe NASCAR decides, oh, if it just rains like it did, like floods, we could just do boat racing. It'd be kind of interesting.
RC boat racing.
That'd be kind of fun.
So the truck race ran for 80 laps on Saturday, and then it rained. And then they ran for the rest of the race on Sunday. Truck race itself, though, was pretty uneventful. You know, pretty normal.
I mean, it felt more racy than it did last year, for sure, but there still really wasn't, like, much passing at all.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Overall, I think it was a good race. In general, no. Like what I mean is like Jordan just threw his hands up like what? But like what I mean is like I think it could have been a lot worse. It could have just been a snooze fest, and or it could have been a wreck fest. You know, like I think if you're looking at the qualifications for a good race, it met it, kinda. It could have been better, but there's definitely that fine line of we're going to go out there and we're just going to run single file for 200 laps, or we're going to go out there and we're going to crash every two laps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I meant. Like, I think it was a good, like a good race right down the middle. So then we had the open qualifying, which was a snooze fest.
Mm-hmm. Be ready, folks. This is going to be a theme.
That, honestly, it was disappointing because I remember...
You're talking about the All-Star Open itself?
Yeah, the All-Star Open. I remember the days when the All-Star Open was the most exciting race of the weekend at Charlotte.
I mean, it was... It was last year at North Wilkesboro. Granted, you also had the Ty Gibbs and Michael McDowell drama. So it was like, oh, is Michael McDowell going to make sure Ty Gibbs doesn't make it and all that? Sure. I mean, even though it just felt like the All-Star Open was just way better itself than last year compared to the All-Star race. But
yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know. It felt weird in the sense that it was kind of like usually that's like a good determination on what the night's going to be. And last year, as you said, it was more exciting than the actual All-Star race. So I was hoping that, okay, well, maybe we're going to flip-flop here. And that didn't happen. The All-Star Open ran. It did its job. It moved on to two drivers, and Gragson got the fan vote.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the All-Star race itself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much hype. So much hype. We have three sets of tires. One of them's not going to be in play because it's not raining.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this soft and the regular. Okay, soft and regular. Oh, this is going to be exciting.
Still wasn't.
Kyle Busch wrecks Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on lap one.
Mm-hmm.
Brings, and we're going to touch on that in a minute. Brings everyone down pit road. Five drivers say we'll take the reds, which were the soft tires. Everybody else says on the regulars. Those five drivers who took the red take off because they have a softer compound. After about 50 or so laps, those times level to the same times as the yellow or the primaries. And I remember Larry Mack was like, I think this might be the time that those guys with the regular tires are going to come forward. But then I think it was Bowyer or Harvick or somebody after a couple of laps went, wait, they're running the same lap times. So, of course, Logano has a 20-second lead over sixth-place Christopher Bell, I think it was. They're just going to maintain that 20-second gap because they're running the same lap times. So then we have the halftime break where most drivers come down and get the reds, and which, again, were the soft tires, and everyone was on the same compound.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all racing the same as if they were all on the same yellows. And then we have the caution with 50 to go. And this is where it got a little interesting because drivers like Kyle Larson come in and get red tires. So he drives his way up to fifth or sixth. But then after 20 minute laps, his tires go away and he falls backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one other thing, folks. They didn't have the rear diffusers on these cars, which was something everyone was like, oh, this might improve stuff. And it didn't. I don't know what to do.
I don't know either. I mean, like we've talked about, I mean, it really feels like the only thing that is like the mile and a half, the intermediate track, super speedways, the racing's great.
Mm-hmm.
The road course and the short tracks, it's like, oh my God, what the heck are we doing?
So something,
and I don't know. I mean, I texted you about this on yesterday, I think it was, and it's like, is it the car itself or is it just because now you've had 2 years back in North Wilkesboro. It's just so it's great to be back there, obviously. But you've had two non-eventful All-Star races at North Wilkesboro, and you're going back there again in 2025.
So I don't think it's the track, because then you see the Cars Tour go out there and put on a great show.
Mm-hmm.
You see the Truck Series go out and put on a racy race.
The Wheel of Modified Tour.
The Modified Tour has done great stuff. I don't think it's the track.
I think it's just the next-gen car.
I think it's the next-gen car.
Because ever since the Gen 7 came out in 2022...
Short tracks have been
horrendous. Been an issue with the short tracks.
The only track that might be considered a short track that has been somewhat Bristol. Eventful, I was going to say NHMS.
Bristol.
Bristol's been too.
Bristol, but they're also not on the short track package.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's because everyone after that Bristol race, from that where all the tires were like falling off every five laps, it was like, let's just bring that tire to every short track. That might be great.
It just, I don't know. It NASCAR preached that they wanted to make a car that could be used in basically anywhere and everywhere, right? They wanted to save the team's money. They didn't want to have them, you know, have to rebuild cars, because 10 years ago they were building probably 5 or 6 cars a season, and like it was. I remember when you would see on Speed Channel they would have like an interview in a garage and it'd be like, oh yeah, that's our Talladega car, oh that's our Bristol car.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh, that's our everything car.
Yeah.
We just changed the spoiler. You know, or we just changed this. We just changed that. And it was done, I think, in an effort to make it so that a team, in theory, could buy like 5 cars per car. So you'd have a 4-car team would have 20 cars. And those were the 20 you would use all year. That's it. And on paper, it makes sense. On paper, it checks out. But racing, as we've learned, is not a one-size-fits-all model. I mean, not that I want to say anything poor about Formula One, but some of those racetracks put on fantastic races. Some of those racetracks don't. Formula One's been doing this one-size-fits-all model for years. You know, we saw it last year. Mercedes comes out, builds a race car, and it is a dumpster fire race one. Well, guess what? They're stuck with that car for the next 20-something races. So we've seen it in Formula One where some racetracks, the car runs great. Some tracks, they don't. NASCAR then says, oh, we're going to do that. And it's like, hold on a minute. Can we think this through? You know, even IndyCar changes things. I mean, the cars that they ran on Sunday in qualifying are going to look different than the cars they run on Sunday for the 500 because of qualifying trim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I think for NASCAR, if you're going to do something, in my opinion, you say, hey, race teams, we're going to develop a short track and road course car. So you would have two different cars. You would have your intermediate super speedways and your short track road courses. Either that or scrap the next-gen car and figure something else out. And to do that, it's going to take time. It's going to be a redevelopment, blah, 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 blah. Whereas you could take one of these next-gen cars and go test it on road courses and short tracks and say, okay, this is what works, and make it and fix it.
I mean, they also wanted the next-gen car because it's a safer car. But Kurt Busch ended his career in a next-gen car because he crashed in qualifying Pocono a couple years ago. Broke his back. Eric Jones just a couple weeks ago a month ago now, broke his back at Talladega.
Right.
So it's like in the impact of the car is supposed to be better, but you saw drivers getting hurt. I mean, obviously it's gonna happen no matter what.
Right.
But you've had 3 drivers get hurt in the next gen car in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And one of them had a concussion so bad he retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I can't necessarily sit here and talk as if I am, you know, in the know when it comes to NASCAR, because I'm not. But at the same time, it's like kind of seems like a no-brainer to me that that, you know, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't know what else to say other than something's wrong. And I would like to believe that NASCAR is doing everything in their power to try and fix it and remedy it and everything. And knowing them, they probably are. But at the same time, it's like we need to fix things like now. You know, this should have been fixed probably 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know what else to do. And it's just something that needs to be helped. I mean, I guess the only issue with this car besides potential safety issues is just the fact that the on-track product isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is firing off correctly.
Right.
So the car itself is fine. The car itself has been developed the way it needs to be developed, but it just needs to be the racing of it needs to be tweaked. So, I don't know. Kevin Harvick said it once on his podcast. Everybody's out here saying we need more horsepower. So then why don't we just go to Richmond and try it?
Because
mm-hmm. I don't know how many times that conversation comes up, even around the campfire at the racetrack. Oh, well, they need more horsepower. Okay, well, somebody should just go out and try it to either put it to bed or prove it right. Because I think that's something right now that everyone's saying, oh, well, this is what needs to happen. We don't know if that's what needs to happen because nobody's tried it.
Right.
And it just, I get it because I think Kevin said it in either on Fox or on a podcast or whatever. I get it. Back in the days of all the horsepower, you know, they were running maybe one or two races per engine. Now they're getting probably five or six. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But at the same time, it's like there's got to be something in the model here that we can fix. There's got to be something in the model that we can tweak and make better.
I just don't know what it is. At the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I mean, you know it's bad. I mean, granted, this is probably anything, but you know it's bad when the storyline after the race is not the race itself, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, a fight in the infield, which we're going to talk about in a minute, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's between Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Right.
But usually it's, here's what happened in the race. Oh, and by the way, whereas everything on social media is, hey, Joey Logano won. Oh, and by the way, you know, huge, huge fight in the infield. Oh, by the way, but Joey Logano won.
Right.
You know, it just, I agree with you. It. I don't think it's the racetrack. I think North Wilkesboro is great. You know, I think that it's just going to be, Wilkesboro is going to age.
You know,
it's going to be in the sun. It's going to deal with winters. So next year will be a completely different racetrack.
You know it's bad when the actual NASCAR social media page has 10 posts of the Stenhouse-Busch fight, or 10 posts in general. They have 4 Joey Logano posts of him winning. And I just counted. That's how I know the exact number. Actually, 11 posts because they have the audio from Kyle Busch's in the car when he took Stenhouse out. And his crew chief's like, you're probably going to have a visitor at the holler after because obviously North Wilkesboro.
You can't leave.
Can't leave. There's no tunnels in the infield. So Stenhouse just had to sit there and wait. I mean, he said he was going to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he told Jamie Little, he's like, oh, I'll wait. And he's like, maybe I can have Richard hold my watch.
It just, yeah. The car itself, I don't know, man. It's, something has to give. Something has to be worked on. Something has to be fixed. I don't know what it is, but they got to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
On the short tracks and road courses. But
it And
the idea of the tires on paper made sense. You see it in Formula One, right? Softs and mediums. But just for some reason, it didn't work. And I don't know why. I'm not smart enough. I'm not involved enough to be able to say this is why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to kind of back up here. It did work. The tire did fall off.
Right.
But the issue was, is by the time it fell off, they were already so far ahead that it didn't matter.
Right.
You almost needed it to fall off quicker and then fall off. So this way, because it fell off and equalized. It didn't fall off and then completely go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I think NASCAR was hoping for. I think NASCAR was hoping for, you know, Joey Logano to get out there and get 20 seconds ahead and then his tires fall off 20 laps later. And then all of a sudden, 30 laps later, he's like losing control and the guys who are in the yellows are catching up. I think that's what they were hoping for. But I don't know.
I don't know either.
The TV ratings here from our friends over at Seriously Fast Motorsports scored a 2.573 million average views. It peaked around 2.8 between 9:15 and 9:30. And that's up 17% from 2022. So there was a lot of hype.
Mm-hmm.
Peaked right around fight time.
I was going to say it peaked right about the time the race ended, close to it. So people are like, oh.
Interesting on that.
And that was about the time everyone knew what Senhouse said. And I was like, oh, I'm going to tune in now.
And how much you want to bet that right around 9:15 people started firing off tweet text, there's a fight, there's a fight. So everyone jumped on the NASCAR or on the Fox.
Right. I do got to get credit, though. Fox actually showed it.
Want the fight?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they did.
They usually show it after it's happened. They showed it. They literally did a side by side. Joey Logano being interviewed on the front stretch too. Look what happened in the infield too.
Well, what else was happening that night?
That's true.
We had 200 laps of turning left and no contact, no accidents. The three cautions that happened. One of them was for contact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a lie. Gibbs went around, didn't he?
Yes.
So, my apologies. But still, not a lot happened on the racetrack.
Right.
But, no, I mean, and also, Stenhouse called a shot.
He did.
So, you have to believe that the producer in the truck was like, hey, so-and-so, go find Kyle Busch's trailer.
Especially when you said,
I'm going to wait.
He's like, maybe I'll have Richard hold my watch, which, for those that really don't know, why that might be funny is Kyle Busch's introductory press conference with RCR. Richard Childress goes, I forgot to give you your signing bonus, so can you hold my watch? And it was a watch that was pretty much worth what the signing bonus would be, mm-hmm. which is why Stenhouse said that.
Well, I mean, well, also there's the, I don't remember who said it, but when Kyle Busch and Richard Childress were fighting at one point, the comment was made that I think somebody was going to hold Richard's watch as he beat Kyle Busch or fought him. So I don't know. So let's transition to this.
Yeah.
Here, I'll lay out the general information and then we'll throw our opinions in. Lap two of the race. Kyle Busch is on the outside. We have a driver on the inside. I don't remember who it was. Stenhouse sends it into the middle. Comes up off turn two. And Kyle Busch hits the wall.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been some contact down the back straightaway between Busch and Stenhouse. But this was after Busch already hit the wall.
Yes.
Off turn two. Go through one, three and four, come back around one and two, and guess what? Kyle Busch gives him the chrome horn, and up into the wall goes Stenhouse. He wrecks, he's out, parks his car in Kyle Busch's pit box,
mm-hmm.
gets out, doesn't do anything. He just walks over the wall, climbs up on the pit box, says something to Kyle Busch's crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
Randall Burnett.
Yeah, again, nothing, no contact, no fighting, nothing like that. It was just said something. Probably the best meme-worthy guy coming out of this, Andy Petrie, just shrugs his shoulder.
Yep.
There's also the other meme of him just standing there in the middle of the chaos.
There's also just a whole bunch of memes in general of the walkover of
Ricky Stenhouse just sitting there with his leg crossed, like he's just chilling.
Yeah.
So then
something like this.
Yeah. So then they interview Ricky Stenhouse. Ricky Stenhouse basically says, "I don't understand. I got wrecked. Yada yada yada," you know, and calls his shot, as we mentioned. Somebody's gonna have to hold my watch. They noted immediately that Wilkes-Barre doesn't have a tunnel, as we talked about. So Stenhouse has to stay in the infield,
right,
regardless of if he's gonna talk to Kyle or not. He has to wait. So the whole race goes. Post race, Kyle is walking back to his hauler with what looked like a posse worth of media people.
Because everyone knew.
Stenhouse is sitting there with his elbow up on the back hauler of Kyle Busch with his leg crossed, just waiting for him. They start talking. It's very much a situation of, well, I didn't hit you. Kyle says, well, everybody was hitting each other, and you shouldn't have been there, and yes, I should have. Yada, yada, back and forth. And then Stenhouse says something like, you should go back and watch the video. Throws a punch, lands it. The teams immediately jump in. Stenhouse is pulled away by Kyle Busch's team. Kyle Busch's team, I think, also pulled – or no, Stenhouse's team pulled Kyle Busch away. Stenhouse's dad – goes after Kyle Busch, probably in a defensive, going to defend my son, yeah, type deal. Kyle gets a punch in on Stenhouse's dad. You hear Stenhouse say, "Dad, go get my dad."
Yeah.
They pull him apart. Stenhouse's dad is cited by saying, "I never hit him. I never touched him.
I wasn't on
kind
him."
Kind of, sort of.
And it's like, you were going to.
Well, no, I mean, he was on him. He was holding him.
I'm pretty sure he did throw a punch.
Yeah, he pulled He pulled a 180 on what actually happened. And then, or regardless of if that's fact or opinion, you know, he went after Kyle Busch and then said, "I didn't do anything." They get pulled apart. Crew members are shoving people off of Kyle Busch's trailer. And then Kyle and Stenhouse are distant apart, and basically Stenhouse is saying, you know, "I'm going to wreck you in Charlotte." And Kyle's like, "I don't care. We both suck, you know?"
Yeah. And I suck just as bad as you do.
Yeah. And he was like, "Let's go, you know, bring it." And then Stenhouse goes his way. Kyle goes his way. And
I think that's what became everyone felt bad for Andy Petrie, because obviously he's the vice president of the competition. And he was standing right there when Kyle Busch goes, "Go ahead, I suck just as bad as you do." And you can kind of see, I saw a video of the people zoomed in on Andy Petrie's face after Busch said that. And he kind of just went like this, kind of like, "Oh man, it's bad when," drivers say it all the time, but when you're right there in a fight, when you hear another driver say to your driver, "I'm going to wreck you next week." And he goes, "I suck just as bad as you do."
Yeah.
And no offense to Stenhouse, but when Kyle Busch goes, "I suck just as bad as you do,"
yeah,
you know Kyle Busch isn't happy with his performance.
Oh, that, and also heat of the moment. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. But, yeah, it was just a lot happened. It's been analyzed and reviewed and everything since. Today's Tuesday, so this would be the day that any penalties come out.
Well, they did. I did see Bob Pockrass say if they do make an announcement on penalties, they might do it tomorrow, because today is the NASCAR 2025 announcement for the Hall of Fame. So they might not want to overshadow that, so they might wait till tomorrow.
Okay.
One thing I will think is, I don't think there's going to be suspension for Busch or Stenhouse. But I do think Stenhouse's dad will be suspended for a couple races from being at the track.
So,
because obviously, I think of
Joey Logano's dad.
Joey Logano's dad did it, and he got suspended for a couple races. I think it would be the same thing.
Difference between him, his dad, and Logano's dad was Logano's dad just got in front of a hot bike. He didn't actually go after. I think it was Keselowski or Edwards. Mm-hmm. Whereas Stenhouse's dad
was involved.
Did.
So, that's why I think he'd be get suspended. Usually, I think about it. The Chastain and Gregson fight from last year. Did punches connect? No, but no one got suspended from that.
I'm not gonna lie.
But this was also different because the crews were involved in this.
The crews, thankfully, they were doing. If you go back and watch the video, they were just breaking it up.
Other than the Stenhouse's crew who tried to jump in on Kyle.
Well, but Kyle's crew jumped in on Stenhouse.
Well, one of them kind of pulled Stenhouse back, but they kind of did it violently, and five people fell.
Yeah.
But I did see Bush's crew body slam one of Stenhouse's, Bush's crew body slam one of Stenhouse's crew on the 8-hauler. And then one of the memes I've seen all the time is about this one crew member on the 8, the one that keeps going, get off our truck. He keeps going like this. He's taking like 5 people on, and he's like, everyone's like, I want that guy. If I'm ever in a fight, I want this guy helping me.
I want that guy on my time.
I want that guy on my team. And it's like, I mean, he was the one who was like, get off our truck. Like, go.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be no suspension for Bush or Stenhouse. Especially with NASCAR kind of like, oh, look at this. Yeah. But I
hate to say it. I think his dad gets suspended indefinitely.
He will. I think he will because they don't like when family members get involved in that stuff.
Or at least till the end of the year. You know, because Logano's dad got suspended for a couple races and all he did was say, he's not going to hurt my boy or hurt my kid or kill my kid or whatever. And then same thing with, who was it? Keselowski's dad too. When Edwards wrecked him at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those guys got suspended off of words. So what
Stenhouse's
happened?
Dad physically put his hands on Kyle Busch.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now? I mean, it might be extreme, but...
I mean, there's going to be fines for Busch and Stenhouse, obviously, because that's usually what happens.
But let me ask you this. It wasn't a points race. How do you fine points?
Well, they're not going to find use points. They're going to find them with money.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
But one thing, too, is last year with Sanchez and Freeze in their fight at Talladega, Sanchez's dad got suspended because he put his hands on Freeze or not, but he was somewhere in that vicinity, and he got suspended for a couple races, too.
So I'm not going to lie. Here's what I think.
And obviously, that was the Chuck series. I'm talking about Nick Sanchez.
Here's my hot take on this. I don't think anything happens to Kyle Busch. I think Stenhouse's dad either gets suspended for the rest of the season or indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stenhouse either gets nothing or he's fined or he's sat a race. I think if they want to take points away,
I think
that's how you get him. You take points away during a non-point race. We say you don't run next week. Now, with that being said, real quick, he then said to Kyle, I'm going to wreck you at Charlotte.
So now you know if
he turns around and wrecks him at Charlotte.
You know it's going to be on purpose.
You know it's going to be on purpose, and then NASCAR needs to step in.
Which they will at that point. But I don't think they sent him a race for doing that and saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to wreck you at Charlotte. You kind of wait and see.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they sent him for the words.
But I will say, when Stenhouse said, I didn't touch you, there's visual proof that Stenhouse did, in fact, touch Kyle because that donut was not on the 8 or before.
Mm.
So there's visual proof that Stenhouse did touch Busch. And since we usually do it like we did it for someone in Friesen earlier this year at Bristol. I think it was Sanchez.
It was Sanchez.
So, I think it was this is Stenhouse's fault. The reason he tried to make it 3 wide on a track you probably shouldn't, he lifted and he made contact with Busch and Busch hit the wall.
Mm.
Stenhouse, I don't think really saw the replay when he said you hit the fence and then hit me. Busch didn't hit the fence before he hit Stenhouse. It only took, that was a whole lap later. Lap 1, that was Stenhouse trying to make it 3 wide. got into Bush and Bush hit the wall. Lap two and turn two, that's when Kyle Busch was like, okay, I'm sick of this, and he put Stenhouse on the wall. So I think obviously Kyle Busch retaliated on purpose. You can 100% tell. Mm. But I think the original, what made Kyle Busch do that was Stenhouse's fault. Because you made it 3 wide. You kind of got aggressive on lap one. Am I saying don't be aggressive? No.
But be smart,
it was the All-Star race. I mean, yes, it's $40 million, but it's lap one.
Of 200.
It's lap one, and you try to make it 3 wide with drive, where at a point you probably shouldn't. It's in the middle of a turn. The front stretch is fine. The back stretch, because it's fine. Easier, but you're in a turn on a 7/10 of a mile, is what I think what Wilkesboro is. There's not a lot of room to do that on the turn. And Stenhouse did, and that automatically would happen. I think this kind of goes to Stenhouse first. I just think Stenhouse was more mad that Kyle Busch just wrecked him out of the race when Stenhouse, his move, didn't do that for Kyle.
Right. Well, Kyle Busch got even.
Exactly.
Really?
Because Kyle Busch goes, I'm sick of being run over. So a lot of people said, is this Kyle Busch just being mad at Stenhouse, or is it overall anger that he keeps getting run over every week? Probably, and so he's just like, I'm done with this.
Probably 75-25.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's... I don't know. I personally saw it as Stenhouse sent it in there, Kyle Busch adjusted and hit the wall off of turn two, and then when he came down, he hit Stenhouse just from the natural deflection. Do I think Stenhouse should have been there in the middle of 3 wide on lap one? No. No. Roll out and live to fight another lap. Do I think that he made contact with Kyle? My opinion, no. But until Kyle came off the wall and hit Stenhouse. But no, I mean, who knows what exactly NASCAR is going to say, just to go back to this. Who knows what NASCAR is going to do? I don't know. They're in a weird position.
Yes, they are.
I mean, I like the fact that they did let them go at it. I mean, Stenhouse called his shot.
He literally said, just wait till
the end of the race. And NASCAR didn't, like, they sent over officials, but it wasn't anything where it was like, no, you're not talking to him.
I don't even think officials even broke that up. I think it was all the crews.
No, there were a couple NASCAR officials.
Were there?
Mm-hmm. There were a couple. A couple guys in, like, I don't want to say street clothes, but they were not in the fire suits. They were more like senior officials, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, we'll have to see what happens either later today or tomorrow. I think you're right with tomorrow, given the fact that it's Hall of Fame day. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Any other thoughts leaving Wilkesboro?
I think that's it, no.
I think the track itself is good.
I just think that it's just the next gen, the Gen 7 that makes it like, oh, this stinks.
Yeah. But I do want to give a quick shout out to SMI. They brought in a lot of rock overnight, Saturday to Sunday, to shore up those parking lots. They did everything in their power.
And the campsites, too, because the campsites were flooded.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job, and I just want to give another shout out to SMI. Not because they own our racetrack, but still... Great to see that. Speaking of our racetrack, we're less than a month away.
Yes, we are.
Woo! Less than a month.
I know, usually we're like 2 months away at this point, but you know, now
it's
we're...
It's like, welcome Memorial Day weekend. By the way, you're racing 3 weeks.
Now it's my birthday. Oh, my birthday weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. I'm gonna work over camping. My whole family and I and Jordan. And yep. I think... If there's a money in the jar word
birthday.
Or phrase that's gonna be
birthday weekend,
that's enough to pay off our student loans.
I'll add another one. The Cup Series that race on my actual birthday.
I know. That's why I'm saying you're just. Hey, it's my birthday! Birthday weekend! Birthday! 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 If Jordan,
I was making sure you don't forget.
If some point during the weekend Jordan has duct tape on his mouth, you can guess why. Hey, it's my birthday. Hey, it's my birthday. Come here. As I pull out the duct tape. No, it it will be a great weekend. A bunch of us are going. Obviously, my family, you, friend Regina.
Ooh, I am going.
And then a couple other family friends are joining us. We're actually going to kind of like build like a compound for camping. It's gonna be so much
and
fun.
A couple people we met last year.
Yeah, and then a couple random camping friends that we made when the race was moved from Sunday to Monday. That they're going to be camping near us, so it'll be a lot of fun. For the first time in probably 6-7 years, I won't actually have to work that weekend, so
exactly.
I'll be there the whole weekend.
It's probably a good thing, too, because Saturday doubleheaders have been great.
Woo!
Probably ever since you've not been there.
Exactly. So they'll go back to being bad.
Being bad, and it's like, God dang it, Devin. Couldn't work.
Go to work. But anyways, Cup Series going to Charlotte. So is the Xfinity and truck.
Yeah, well, there's also a storyline now.
Oh,
brewing.
Boy. Here we go.
So I don't know if you saw, but Donald Trump is apparently going to be a 10 in the Coca-Cola 600.
I heard something about this.
And I don't know if you know the rule about when there's a former president or current president that's in an area, all the airports in that area shut down.
Oh, geez.
Because they don't want any air activity around.
Right.
So now they're like, is Kyle Larson going to be stuck in Indy? I personally don't think he will. There's going to be an exception for that. For Kyle Larson getting it from Indy to Charlotte. Because everyone's like, oh, no, Kyle Larson's not going to be able to get to Charlotte now after the Indy 500.
Well, usually they shut down the airports for when Air Force One comes in and out.
Just that whole time. So the whole time Trump would be in Charlotte, they would shut down that whole airport all around. That's why everyone's like, oh, no, Kyle Larson won't be able to get to Charlotte when everyone's like, you know for a fact, the Secret Service will make an exception for that.
I don't fully agree with what you just said, but okay. Like meaning
that's the thing,
the shut down the airports part. I agree with you making an exception, but
they would have to make
Manchester Boston Regional Airport does not shut down when Air Force One is in. They shut down for when it lands and when it takes off.
No, but they don't want any air activity around the president because, you know.
Oh yeah, but how's that going to now affect the pre-race show? Point is
well, no, there's special exceptions that have to be done, right. Which I'm sure they'll do for Larson. Everyone's like, oh no, Larson won't be able to do the double now, and it's like, yes, he will.
No, they'll make it work.
But
even
now,
if they land him up in Martinsville and drive him in,
right before noon, Bob Parker sent out a tweet with a video of Rick Hedrick being interviewed. There's weather in the area for the Indy 500. So now they're talking about. But this is what the tweet says. He said, Rick Hendrick said it would be extremely hard to pull Kyle Larson out of the Indy 500 if there was weather in order to get him to the Coke 600 on time. So everyone's like, why would he do that? Like, of course you're going to do the Indy 500. It's the greatest spectacle in motorsports.
Spectable. Spectable.
And,
yeah.
So everyone, so obviously, but now there's like, probably not going to be an issue anyway, but it is kind of an interesting that let's say the Indy 500 does get delayed, what does Larson do?
Right.
Because obviously there's that rule for NASCAR, you have to attempt every race to be eligible for the playoffs. Obviously there's waivers. Obviously drivers get hurt and they do a waiver, so they would probably do the same thing anyway, but it's kind of interesting. It's like, if he's like, oh no, I'm going to stay in Indy to do the 500 and not do the Charlotte, does NASCAR be like, okay, you're not eligible for the playoffs? This is very unlikely that they do that.
Well, but I also think that the race starts at 6. It's not going to get done till 11.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis doesn't have lights. So I would assume the absolute worst case scenario that
happens
here. Is the
500 gets postponed?
No, I was going to, well, maybe that, but also worst case scenario is you have a driver start Larson's car, mm-hmm. and then Larson flies in
yeah.
late and switches at halftime or something.
Right. They could just do have Harvick do it again, although I don't know if he would want to.
No, I don't
sure
know.
He probably won't want to.
Or who knows if Fox would allow that. But, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I think that would be something that maybe is a possibility. You have a standby driver, so worst case scenario is if the Indy 500 runs long, then Larson comes in. But mm-hmm. also, IndyCar in general, they are usually pretty good at saying, hey, it's going to be raining. They don't have air titans. They don't have they have jet dryers, but they don't have the track drying technology that NASCAR does. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying they just don't. So I could see IndyCar coming out and being like, hey, it's going to rain until 3 on Sunday. There's no way we can get the race in full. mm-hmm. we'll move it to Monday.
Right.
So who knows what IndyCar is going to do. Now, granted, it's Tuesday. Weather changes
right, like
so
that.
Quickly. So I wouldn't, I mean, good thing for them to obviously be making contingency plans, but I don't think it's anything we need to be necessarily right. worried about at this moment.
But going back to Charlotte, is the entry lists are out. There's 38 trucks for 36 spots. So Connor Mozak, Jennifer Jo Cobb, Connor Jones, Jeffrey Earnhardt, and Jack Wood are, I don't know if Jack Wood is considered an open truck, but those are the drivers that are be opening, going for the 38 spots. So three drivers will be going home. Maybe two, because I don't think Jack Wood's considered an open charter. Mm-hmm. And then for the Xfinity Series, there's 40 cars for 38 spots. Chase Elliott's in the 17, Taylor Gray in the 19, Eric Almirola in the 20, Dean Thompson making his Xfinity Series debut in the 26, Noah Gregson driving in the 30, Kyle Busch in the 33 for RCR, Ogata in 35, and Natalie Decker in the 92.
Mm.
And then for Cup, I mean, all the drivers will make it, but SVG will be back in the Cup Series driving the 40... driving the 16 for a colleague. And then, obviously, Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. And there's another team that's supposed to be in the 50 car that's to be announced for Team Amerivet.
Should be an interesting weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
In general. Who's your picks for the 600?
The 600?
Give me three, like we normally do. It doesn't have to be any specific order, but like...
William Byron. Denny Hamlin. And... Ryan Blaney.
I'm going to take Chase Elliott. I'm going to take Kyle Larson. And if he lives to see all 600 miles, Kyle Busch. Let me phrase that. If his car lives to see all 600 miles, he'll obviously live. But yeah, those are my guys.
Truex
isn't a bad pick either.
I'm looking at the NASCAR fantasy, and it gives you like good picks for the week. Kyle Busch is a good bet. And the sleeper is Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Oh, my God.
Because he finished seventh in the last two Coke 600s.
Mm.
So, interesting.
Any other thoughts from this weekend and or looking ahead?
I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but Fords, they've won the last two Cup races. The All-Star race with Logano and last week at Darlington with Keselowski ending... What was like 112 race win streak. He hadn't won since April of 21, his last year with Penske. He finally gets that win with RFK. So maybe Ford is on the starting to get that momentum. I mean, the All-Star race isn't a points race, but obviously Ford winning the All-Star race is still
a W.
Big deal, because especially with the struggles they've had all year. So.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the Fords are finally here.
Because obviously, I mean, other than Blaney and Gregson, really, and like Buescher and Keselowski, or consistently, I guess it's really Gregson and Blaney. All the Fords have struggled. I mean, Buescher and Keselowski last few weeks have really done good. I mean, because I think they both have a win. When did Buescher win? Buescher won Kansas. But when did Buescher win?
Buescher did not win Kansas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Buescher does not have a win yet for RFK.
Well, they won. He won last year at Daytona in August.
Well, right,
but this year
I didn't know if he had a win yet. I couldn't remember, but
I don't think he does.
But either way, Keselowski getting that win. I mean, that was someone. I mean, obviously, I'm not a Keselowski fan. When I say I'm not a Keselowski fan, I don't hate him. Right. It's not like I'm like, oh, let's go Keselowski.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he won, I was generally like happy, because even when every time he's like near the front, I'm like, I hope he wins, because
he's a good driver. He's a good person. You know, he comes out to the campgrounds, as you know. Like, he does great things for the sport of NASCAR. He's, like, one of those genuine... He's like a Rusty Wallace. You know, you weren't necessarily a fan of Rusty, but you also weren't upset if it won.
Right. Well, older Kozlowski people, like, when he first started, probably a different story.
That's true. That's true. He's come around now. But, yeah, no, congrats to Kozlowski as well as Ford.
I also want to – did you see Denny Hamlin's interview at North Wilkesboro, by the way?
No.
So, obviously, drivers can see, like, what's happened before them. Mm-hmm. And you can see Hamlin, like, laughing when he's looking at the monitor of the fight as he's getting interviewed. So, it was kind of funny.
Oh,
I was just like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because even – Regan Smith had mentioned it. He was like, well, it's a little calmer over here. And Hamlin kind of smirked like, yep.
But going back to that tire, though, is a lot of drivers, they give props to the soft tire. And Bob Parker said in his fast thoughts that he usually posted on X that he was like, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe this is the tire they test for Loudon.
I heard that, too.
So,
I mean, I see nothing wrong with the tire. I think it was just the concept of, oh, we have the regular and the soft. This is what's going to happen. And the soft didn't.
And last year, didn't they have the soft compound for Loudon anyway? Didn't they have a different tire compound for Loudon?
I think so. So
I don't know. I'm always up for them doing new things for Loudon because that's our home track. And, you know, there's always those rumors every year. It's like, oh, we're not going to have a race next year.
I have a feeling we're here to stay for a while.
Hopefully.
But
I don't know. Everyone's like, get Richmond off the track.
Well, no,
schedule
I mean, okay, but here, you know, not to get into this topic of conversation, but I mean, do we need to go to every place twice except for like maybe Daytona?
Even people are like, do we have to go to Daytona twice?
I only say Daytona and even Charlotte because that's where NASCAR's from.
Right, I mean, you know, Charlotte, they'll always go to Charlotte twice because that's a home track.
But Charlotte twice, but I like what they've done with Charlotte where it's like a mile and a half in a road course. You know, so it's not Vegas twice. It's not Richmond twice. It's Charlotte twice, but Charlotte's a mile and a half in a 2.5-mile road course.
Right.
And I think Daytona is exciting in the sense because it's Daytona. And same thing with Talladega and Atlanta. Right. You know, they're super speedways, you know, so it's the unpredictability. I also think Daytona is a track you want to leave on the schedule because that's where the sport came from.
Do we
need to go to Kansas twice? Do we need to go to Richmond twice?
I'd go to Kansas twice.
Do we need to go to Vegas twice?
I'd go to Kansas twice just based on the finish we had. But one thing that stinks is the championship race next year is at Phoenix.
Why?
Because they're like, we'll keep it at Phoenix. A lot of people want it back at Homestead.
But that's another thing that we can talk about another time. But like here you are sitting here, NASCAR's trying to make the 2025 schedule and saying, oh, well, we want to go to Canada, we want to go to Mexico, but who's gonna lose a date?
So I did
How about
see
the fact
I did
that you
see,
just removed
I did
the
see,
second races?
I did see kind of like a because the schedule leaks together. Well, I don't want to say the leaks, but NASCAR has posted like all the Coke 600s, obviously, mm-hmm. Memorial Day weekend like it usually is. Atlanta, the in-season tournament starts.
We didn't even talk about that.
June 28th at Atlanta. The 500s, February 16th, something like that. But you have those, but they kind of like had like, oh, yeah, they are doing an international race next year.
Right.
And I did see that it's being reported that it's going to be Mexico City.
Yes, I saw that too.
And the date they'd get rid of is Richmond 1.
I agree. I saw that. But like, and I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. You have tracks like Portland. You have tracks like Montreal. You have tracks like Mexico City where NASCAR is like, well, we want to bring this in, but where do they race? How about you drop the second dates from everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, Formula One and IndyCar don't go to places twice.
Besides Iowa for IndyCar, but that's a whole weekend.
Yeah, so it's a doubleheader.
Yeah.
You know, so, but like, and I understand IndyCar's done the doubleheaders before too, but it's just like, you don't, I guess my point is you don't go to, Long Beach in March and then go to Long Beach in October for IndyCar. Mm-hmm. It's you go to Long Beach, there you go, done.
Right.
You know, so I think besides your super speedways and your Charlotte, because of the importance of Charlotte, you go everywhere else once. And guess what? That's going to open up so many opportunities schedule-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if SMI wants to throw in Nashville or Nashville Fairgrounds, they might be able to work out a deal with NASCAR to say, hey, instead of the Richmond race, can we go here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I bet SMI would be willing to pay for this, the date.
And I know.
But I'm just saying, like.
I know a lot of people especially, well, in our area, are still salty to this day. And it's been 7 years now that we've lost our playoff race. So everyone's just like, oh, bring it back. And it's like, or just get rid of our July date.
I'm excited.
Summer date to go back to September.
I'm excited. Everyone's like, oh. I'm excited to see what our June race is going to be. I think, I mean, it's 80 degrees out here in New Hampshire.
Because
not too hot, not too humid. I think this is what we should expect there for our weekend. And this is beautiful weather, you know. But I don't think we're ever going to get a second date back here unless it's on like a road course or an alternative
track. I think going back to like the getting rid of the second dates, every track, like the locals of Richmond, they're going to be not happy when they lose their second date.
Of course.
Like, obviously, Dover probably wasn't. Obviously, New Hampshire was not.
Yep.
I mean, I think it was Marcus Smith that got booed on stage the day of the driver and chose the last playoff race.
September race, yep. I know. I understand
so,
that.
So, I mean, obviously, NASCAR is going to have to do what they have to do to make the schedule better and get what fans want. But obviously, the locals of the track are like, oh, we want 2 days.
Well,
it's
the same thing with what we do at DPPG on a smaller scale. You know, we go and we cover all these six or seven schools in the area, but each of those six or seven schools have five or six different sports teams. So guess what? When we cover this school's whatever sport once or twice, of course that group of people are going to sit there and say, well, you only covered us twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, we covered 30 games and we covered all of these schools. You know, so I guess my point in saying this is it's no matter what you do, you're never going to make everybody happy.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, I can tell you as a New Hampshire person, yeah, it sucks that we don't have two weekends anymore. But you know what? It makes that one weekend
special.
That much more exciting.
Right.
That much more special. You know, and yeah, would I love to have a playoff date? Of course. Would I love for us to maybe be a cutoff race? Of course. But does it mean that we also need a race in May? No. You know, and at the end of the day, you're looking at a schedule that has these tracks that are usually lackluster. Richmond, Kansas, Vegas. You know, so it's like, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when NASCAR's turning around and saying, we need to find dates for Mexico City. We need to find dates for Montreal. That's fine. Go find dates. Remove Richmond, remove Kansas, you know, or remove, I don't know who else you could remove. But I think like your crown jewels, Darlington, Charlotte, Daytona, Talladega, they should have those double dates.
Yeah.
Atlanta will always have a double date because it's SMI owned. So
yeah.
SMI has the chance. So like SMI, as you saw with us, they wanted a second date at Vegas. Well, they just took New Hampshire's date and put it there.
Right.
So in theory, they could take Atlanta's second date and put it somewhere else, but they're not gonna, because you have all this going on at Atlanta now.
Atlanta's debatably their best track right now.
Right. So I don't know. It's I don't know. Again, going back to like I'll say the same thing I said with the next gen car. Obviously, we're not in that decision making. People are obviously going to like people. NASCAR's gonna, they have stuff going on that we don't know about, and it's understandable. But, and who knows if like Kansas has a sponsorship obligation for 5 years and we're in year two of it.
Right.
You know, or same thing with Richmond. You know, usually these sponsorship obligations aren't, okay, yeah, we'll sign off for 1 year. It's, hey, we'll do the next 10, like Vegas. Vegas, 7 years ago, started a 10-year deal with the city of Las Vegas for their tourist commission to advertise. And that's why like at Charlotte and Texas, you see Las Vegas on a billboard.
Right.
Because they're advertising. I'm kind of amused at the fact that the Las Vegas billboard didn't show up in New Hampshire. But I think that was for obvious reasons. But it's just like sponsorship obligations too. So I don't know. I like this in-season tournament idea, by the way.
I do too.
I think it's, I mean, Denny Hamlin is going to do it again this year for his podcast, but I like the fact that they're going to do it because you're handing out regular season points as well as
money.
And it's just going to make it exciting. You know?
Since it's 5 weeks in the season, first race is June 28th, I'm just assuming, based on where the schedule usually falls, New Hampshire's going to be one of those races.
Potentially. Or the week after ours.
Yeah. And
but then we would, like, so it's 8 weeks, 3 weeks of seeding, and then 5 weeks of competition.
Right.
So if it June 28th, it based off of this schedule.
And
this
I think year, it's 8 weeks consecutively, isn't it?
So we would have like a seeding race.
We would have something as part of it, though.
We might, yeah. So we'll
have to see. Might. We definitely
unless
would.
Unless they move us to like May.
Yeah. I don't know if they do that.
Hey, guess what, New Hampshire? We have an April date.
Guess what? Guess what? You're now the Daytona 500.
Get rid of go shovel out the campground. NASCAR's coming.
Get ready.
I mean, honestly, we could be in the Dover date, which was the end of September or end of April.
Yeah.
So who knows? Which honestly, hey NASCAR, that might make a better race. Cooler track temps in April.
That's true.
Hey NASCAR, in case you didn't hear me, cooler track temps in April.
Hint.
Cooler track temps, softer tire, New Hampshire 2024. 2025. Thank you. That's all I got to say. No, but I mean, we could, in theory, host it. I mean, we've even, New Hampshire's even hosted it in November when 9/11 happened. So, and again, that's kind of my argument to, oh, well, we should keep the championship race in warmer climates.
Let's just put the championship race at Loudoun.
I think it could rotate.
That would get the fans ready.
but like, I think that's really what I'm getting at is the fact that we've hosted races in November. Is it ideal? No.
No.
Is there a chance that we could be freezing? Of course.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a possibility. And if NASCAR NASCAR went to SMI and said, hey, we want to host our championship race at Loudoun in 2027. New Hampshire and Loudoun or SMI would do everything in their power to get that facility ready for it. With that being said, though, NASCAR is not going to give up a championship race at one of their racetracks.
No.
You know, SMI has the all-star race. NASCAR has the championship race.
Right. Although it shouldn't be at Phoenix, NASCAR. Move it back to Homestead. At least, if you keep it at one place, go back to Homestead with it. Just because the city itself, just championship. Like Phoenix, championship, no.
Formula One, by the way, apparently signed a contract to run in Chicago starting in 2026.
I did see that.
So I wonder how that's going to work with NASCAR. Granted, NASCAR was a three-year deal, so they would end in 2025. So does that mean that we're out of the street? NASCAR's out of the streets of Chicago at the end of 2025.
Yeah, they're gonna go do the streets of
F1 is coming in.
They're gonna do the streets of Manchester, New Hampshire next.
we're gonna go run a street course race in Boston. Let's go. Anyways,
that was a rumor.
IndyCar.
I don't want to say it was a rumor, but there was someone like, oh, maybe
IndyCar almost did
that
it.
That was something that was just thrown out there. Oh, maybe NASCAR does the streets of Boston.
IndyCar almost did it.
Boston, I feel like would be tough to do.
And that's why IndyCar didn't do it.
Because the roads in Boston are narrow because for no reason. There's like,
And also SMI probably wouldn't have let that happen.
No.
Hey, you're only 2 hours away from my race. Hey, go away. Or put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
We'll get April. You guys run in October.
NASCAR is going to do a street race on the campgrounds in New Hampshire.
I mean, hey, that's what we're going to do this year with the scooters. Ring, ring. All right. whoop. Any other thoughts?
No, I think that was it.
Right. We're just about an hour and a half into the show. Well, our longest shows this year. But
it's crazy what happens when we're in person.
Right? We start talking.
We're gonna be like that from now on.
I know. That's insane.
Yes.
That's scary.
I know.
I have to see you every week?
Yeah. I mean, you did anyway, even so.
Yeah, but at least I could just end the FaceTime call. never mind. I don't want to hear from you. All right. Well, folks, want to say thank you for tuning in. As always, follow us on social media. We're going to do our best to try and get more of a social media presence now that Jordan's bored this summer. Maybe I'll give him the login to the social media accounts.
I'm bored. What?
Yeah. You got nothing going on,
maybe,
right?
You. I mean, I'm going to be around.
What are you talking about?
Different racetracks.
Me.
I'm
going to
be
on
different racetracks like every weekend.
All right. Well, maybe we'll give him the login to the social media accounts. But make sure to follow us on social media. Racing Hotspot weekly show here. We're going to try and keep it consistent. I want to give a quick shout out to 603 United for letting us come on in here and record this week. We appreciate them. Until we see each other for the next show, he's Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a great night, everybody, and so long.